Welcome to Create the Movement podcast. Create the Movement is an online marketing team focused on collaborating with law firms and businesses nationwide. Visit us at createthemovement.com to discover how we can help you create a movement. All right, welcome back to Create the Movement podcast. This is a very exciting episode, right?
It is.
This is episode number 50. This is Brad Post, and I'm sitting here with our Chief Marketing Officer, Dominic Montgomery.
How's it going, guys?
He's usually always pretty busy, so it's hard to get him on a podcast. So I put him in a headlock, and we came in our office, and we're going to record episode number 50 together. Dominic, we're going to talk a little bit about just kind of our past year, our year's growth last year, and the ups and downs of our business, and it was quite a year. You guys, you and Liz, started with us, or we combined forces, in January officially, right? I think Liz was kind of working with us a little bit, and you and I were chatting. Dominic and Liz had a marketing company, and we had a marketing company. We decided to do a permanent collaboration, is what we're calling it, right?
That's right.
So it was I think January we had kind of our office, right? And I think you and Liz were coming in and growing a team at the same time. And we had a team on board that I remember when we communicated that you guys were coming on board, they were like, yes, Dominic and Liz. You know, it was just like a natural,
right?
You know, tell me kind of what you guys' feelings were.
Yeah, same thing, man. We were kind of in our, like you said, growing phase, and we were bringing on salespeople and offering them what we could offer at the time, and it just felt right to bring everything into one fold and, like, work as a team together.
I agree. It was, I remember so Dominic and I had history together, and Liz, and we worked at a different company together, which we won't mention, but we combined forces again. I remember even you coming up and consulting with our team, and me going, hey, man, I'll pay you for the consulting. You brought coffee and everything. You're like, man, don't worry about it. You know, you spent an hour with our team. And you did that, I think, a few times. That's why our team was so, like,
welcoming.
Yeah, welcoming and exciting. And you were working with David at the time.
And, that's right.
David was coming into the staff meetings and stuff like that. So it was an exciting time. We quickly grew, so you guys came on and kind of brought your sales team. We had probably four or five, and they were kind of commissioned-only salespeople at the time, right?
Yeah, they were like a rag patch crew of people.
Great group of guys, man, but it totally changed the dynamics of our office pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Because I think you guys were coming in, we had six people in our sales floor. We came in on one weekend, remember, and put all those desks together.
Yeah, we got a bunch of IKEA desks.
Right, right. And it was exciting. However, we quickly realized that kind of company culture was shifting. We needed to kind of rein those guys in a little bit. And then we brought on an amazing guy. He kind of took over the sales team and really ran with it. We had a lot of growth. We took on a lot of accounts last year.
Yeah. Those guys were hustling. They were working leads like crazy.
Yeah.
And the guy that we brought on, he would not take no for an answer. Right. If somebody said, don't call me anymore, he'd say, okay, well, does that mean this week? Or because I'm going to call you again.
Yeah. And the neat thing was, neat and then a growing pain for us was we took on a lot of accounts that we shouldn't have.
Yeah.
Do you agree?
Yeah, that's big. We took a lot of accounts that we knew we could do the work, but we weren't well versed in. And we had a lot of growing pains in that we had to figure out how to work as an agency with people who weren't used to working with an agency.
Right.
We usually work with attorneys who are used to, you know, a marketing firm or a ad agency or something like that, but when we start getting into other industries, other markets, a lot of times they're just used to working with, you know, their nephew or their
right,
you know, or their cousin, yeah. And they get to pull the strings and tell them exactly what they want. And it was hard for us to kind of bring people on and expect them to you know, fall in line with how we do business. So that was a big growing pain, just figuring out how to create a process so that no matter who we sold to, they would conform to our process, mm-hmm. so that they would have a good time, and more so we would have a good time.
Yeah. Because we were taking on accounts that, I mean, we were okay to take on them, we just didn't price them right, you know.
Yeah.
Sales guys were like, hey, let's just charge this.
Right.
And we kind of felt bad going back and saying, hey, you need to, you know, I know you sold this, but you need to go and charge them more.
Yeah.
So we did a lot of, I'd say, free or not free work, but
we did a lot of free work. Yeah. We did a lot of free work, actually.
Right.
Or work that we paid to do.
Yes, exactly. Non-profitable work.
Yeah.
And so that was, but you were talking about the process.
Yeah.
So probably mid-year to the third quarter, we set up the process, right?
Yeah, so process took a while to set up just because you have to have the right people. You have to have the right number of people. And then you have to have the right tools in place.
Exactly.
So we found a great tool that allowed us to kind of do like a briefing with our clients.
Mm-hmm.
So that was step one. Step two was bringing in a consultant who had like a bird's eye view of what we were doing and was able to say, hey, have you ever tried this?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever tried that? I feel like this will save you time. And he came up with a great idea that saved us a lot of time, yeah. actually, when it came to development. And then, like I said, having the right people in place who can replicate and duplicate the process. So once we got all that into place, things started flowing really smoothly. Mm-hmm. Well, not everything's perfect all the time,
right.
but it's a lot more smooth with the process in place. I think, you know, we had an influx of clients last year, maybe mid-year. Like, we had a lot of projects on the board.
30
projects
right.
on the board. And I remember looking at the board like, man, like, every client is in a different place, meaning, like, in a different place in their development.
Process,
yeah. And just realizing, man, we need to be able to say, okay, that client's in, you know, at the 60% stage, or this client's right. at the 20% stage. But when you don't have a process for development or a process for marketing, you just say, hey, we did that for the client, and there's no there's no start or finish point for
right.
that client on the board. So
right.
That's what we figured out, and it works. We're really happy that we have that now.
It was kind of, I mean, I wouldn't say slow going, but I think you and I, I'm not saying we were the brilliant masterminds behind it. We were like, okay, let's sit down. This is step one. And step one's the phone call with the client, you know,
right.
until we sign. And then step two is the marketing,
right.
the visual brief. Like, hey, here's what we heard from step one.
Yeah.
And then, you know, step three was coming up with the homepage design, which...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think we were probably still running 95% homepage design approvals.
Yeah.
Because like last year, we'd show them the homepage and be like, okay, cool. And then we go to launch and they're like, no, we want you to change this on the homepage and this on the homepage
mm-hmm.
and this. And we're like thinking, we've already got it approved. And so we set up an approval process where they click.
Right. That's another thing. We set up approvals along the way.
Mm-hmm.
So they approve this, we send them a form, they say, I approve it.
Yep.
They approve the homepage, I approve it. They approve us to launch it, I approve it. We always keep that so that, not saying clients are going to come back and do anything, but some clients are kind of like picky and they want to always have a say in whatever.
Right.
You know, just some personality types are just like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we use that to kind of combat when a client says, you know, I don't remember approving that, or I don't remember that about it, and we say, hey, you approved it,
right?
And we went ahead and built it. So,
and we have excellent customer care here too.
Mm-hmm.
Your heart and my heart is like, we want to provide them with, so if they come back with a change,
mm-hmm.
for the most part last year we're like, okay, no problem, you know. And the next thing you know, 3-4 hours later, you and David are like, okay, got it done, you know. And we're like, we didn't, you know, scale, or we didn't really price out that extra additional. And so
yeah,
I
think that speaks to another point too. Just over the year, we've been able to kind of value ourselves more,
mm-hmm.
Take more pride in what we do, and I think we're comfortable with charging more. We upped our prices.
We did.
I think we're comfortable with that because we've set standards and processes in place. And that makes us feel safe, and we know it makes the client feel safe.
We've even sold deals based on our process.
Like, right.
Even clients coming to us going, okay, well, so tell us, like, what do you do? And we, like, gave them the whole line out, and they're like, wow, mm-hmm. how big are you guys? You know, and, like, that's great. And so we even sold, yeah, a lot of deals just based on our process alone.
Yeah. Well, that and the customer service. Just for whoever's listening, mm-hmm. you'll be so surprised how important just replying to an email is to some clients.
In a timely fashion,
right. We had a client who said, you know, her former or her current company just wouldn't reply.
Yep.
And the fact that she can send us over, hey, I need this blog posted, and we reply with at least, okay, got it, makes her happy. She's going to be a client forever.
Yep.
You know?
Exactly.
So we've tweaked our customer service as well, and that has kind of filtered through the team. So now the team is, like, on it. It's mm-hmm. awesome to see. If a client has a question, they get a lengthy response that mm-hmm. makes sense, not just a two-sentence email.
Right.
You know?
Right.
That makes me happy.
Right. I think the neat thing, at our prime last year, we were probably 14 employees. We're back down to, 9 in office and then 3 out of the office, mm-hmm. so 12. But 14 in-house, you know, it was mm-hmm. crazy.
Yeah.
You had an office for 4 people. I had an office with 3 people. And then, you know, we went through kind of a tragic loss mm-hmm. last year. October, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. And... not to share a lot on that story, but like a tragic loss. Lost one of our greatest employees, one of our greatest friends.
Mm-hmm.
And coming together after that, I think, like, after it happened, I think we made the call. We were like, hey, you guys, if you want to come to work, you can this week.
Yeah.
If not, you know. But we all came, like, pretty much every day. Had a counselor in. Like, we kind of grieved through that process.
Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what tightened up this core team, and you can talk more towards the core team, but the fact that you said that, just, we were like, hey, nope, don't come in this week.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember saying, stay home.
Yeah.
To some people, just stay home, don't come in. And every day, we all just wandered into the office.
We did. Yeah, just random times.
We just wanted to be together.
Yeah.
Which was really amazing.
Yeah.
And spoke a lot towards the heart of the people who work here.
Yeah. And then that's where we kind of got our core team of where we're at now. And we've even talked about growth and what the growth looks like. And we're very strategic about our growth. Mm-hmm. You know, we're always looking for good people, but we won't make a quick decision.
No.
You know, to hire someone just, you know, because we feel like we need them. The work's got to be there. We've got to know that they fit the culture of the company,
right.
You know, before we do that.
I think one of the smartest things you ever did was when we bring someone on and we interview them. So here's what Brad does. He'll interview the person with Stacy, and then he'll call them in for a second interview with 2 other people from the company.
Right.
And it's brilliant because it 2 other people, like, we're a small company, so... If you get 4 voices on a, you know, 4 opinions about a certain person, that's usually the majority of the company.
Right.
So you're like, you're not really just depending, he's not depending on his own perception of a person to make the call. He's depending on the perception of, or the opinion of a lot of people. And a lot of times it's the right call when, like, 3 people say they're not a good fit.
Yep.
You can say, okay, well, all right, they won't be a good fit.
Yeah, the one person's like, you know, the one out of the 4 or whatever.
Yeah, there's one person that say, okay, well, maybe, you know, what do you, like, there's, then it opens it up for discussion.
Yep.
Like, what's your issue with the person? Well,
right.
This and that, and you can get over that.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Exactly. And I think that's, I mean, because I really value other input, because, you know, if we bring on a new employee, it could disrupt the whole culture.
Right.
Because we have had employees in the past that have disrupted the entire culture.
Yeah, we have.
And it hurts, you know, and it's hard, and it makes fun work not fun and not to come into.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I think one thing, too, we've started doing in the past probably 3 or 4 months is have just weekly vision meetings. So we kind of developed our core team, mm-hmm. and then... we all come together, because really every single one of us just about is in a different department, you know, like right. handling something different.
Right.
And we try to limit meetings down to not very many, but just a weekly vision meeting where, you know, we're going through a book right now called Ultimate Productivity. We go through a chapter a week. And it's pretty much without fail. You know, if I go on vacation, then Dominic normally would lead it.
Mm-hmm.
We tell somebody if it's their 1 year, you know, or if we tell if somebody had a birthday or whatnot, we kind of celebrate it. Talk about wins for the last week, you know, mm-hmm.
Just try to lift everyone up.
Yep. Yeah. One thing I was going to mention, too, going back to the new hire process, and it's kind of new to us, but the past few employees, we've done the 45-day boot camp.
Oh, yeah.
Buffer kind of talked about.
Yeah. Our 45-day boot camp is intense, guys.
Yeah.
No, it's not that intense. But, we put together kind of like a CTM, Create the Movement certification, where what we want to do is train a person up in what we do and, you know, the industry terminology and just our way of thinking, really.
Right.
We came up with like a 50-question test, and when a person comes on, we have them take the test blindly. Mm-hmm. It's just, hey, take this test. We just want to see where you're at.
Right.
A lot of times they get like 40 out of 50 wrong.
Yeah.
So then we know we can gauge, okay, this 45 days is going to be intense. This person needs to learn a lot.
Yeah.
And then our goal is by the end of that 45 days, they know every question they know every answer to every question on that test, and they're beginning to thrive in their position, whatever that may be.
Exactly.
In the company. So if those two things aren't met, if we've taught them everything and they haven't learned it or haven't cared to learn, or they're not thriving in their position, then we get to say, okay, maybe you'd be best suited elsewhere. And that sucks to do, but Brad's really good at referring people to other places where they could go, you know?
Well, and it's kind of, we did kind of basically weekly check-ins, you know, during the 45 days. So the last few, if they're not going to make it, and internally we talk as a team, like, mm-hmm. As an executive management team, as far as it's kind of, we're all on board, like, yeah, they're not going to make it.
Right.
We kind of have some of those difficult conversations running up to the 45 days. So if they don't make it, then they kind of know, mm-hmm. and it's kind of a, you know, an easy out.
Right.
Where they have a good idea that they know they're going to make it, and so they can continue to thrive in their position, continue to learn more past the CTM certification.
Right.
Because we had one guy pass it with flying colors, and we had another person that didn't really work, you know.
Right.
But it's still, like, her departure was still great.
You right. know?
Process out.
So. We're good people.
Right. I think one last thing, too, I was going to mention is just... So we learned last year when we took on a bunch of clients, took on a bunch of employees, we were very reactive.
Yes.
You know, with just, okay, got a new employee, let's write an employee manual, you know? So we got a new salesperson, we need to write a sales manual, right? And so, we, you know, got 10 new clients, well, we need to write a, you know, an operating manual on how to take on these 10 clients,
right.
You know? Just kind of, we were very reactive, and now we're kind of in the thought of being more proactive.
Yeah. I mean, and we weren't just reactive in our business, like our physical, but we were reactive with client requests too, and we were reactive with giving someone time. If someone said, hey, I want to meet with you guys about a website idea, you know, okay, we set the appointment.
Right.
You know, and not even really... go into, like, what's the meeting going to be about?
Yes.
Because we're all busy.
Right.
You know, I think a few times we had quite a few meetings last year where we walked out and we were like, ugh. Like,
a waste of an hour.
Waste
of 2 hours.
Or 2 hours. Yeah. Or 3 hours. Like,
right.
Man, that person didn't have it together. They don't have a clue what they want. They don't have a budget at all. They thought we were just a charity,
yeah.
You know, or we would help them out. And a lot of times we give them valuable information during those meetings, but... we walk out like, man, we neglected our clients for 3 hours for this person.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
So now we're really specific with who we meet with, when we meet with them. We're really specific. Brad taught me when I first came on that I wasn't a calendar guy. I was more so just a when it happens guy. Mm-hmm. But calendaring your stuff is the most important thing ever. Mm-hmm. Just setting your day up, even if you calendar, you know, 8 to 9, eat breakfast.
Yeah.
You have to carve out the time for yourself, yeah. Or you're going to be, you know, it'll be 8:15 and you'll be answering emails. Like, yeah. Whether it be for your life or whether it be for business or, you know, portions of business, scheduling out everything, it's the most important thing you can do.
Thank you, man.
Yeah.
And I think one thing that you and I realized too, kind of towards the end of the year, was you and I, as the CEO and the CMO, were being brought into just about every single meeting.
Yeah.
And we would say yes to every meeting, like you said. And so we actually kind of developed some hoops to jump through in order to meet with us, you mm-hmm. know? Mm-hmm. You and I've been like, okay, we set up Calendly, mm-hmm. So they can go and set an appointment with us through Calendly. As long as they follow that process,
right?
We'll set up an Uber conference with them or a come to our office meeting. You know,
right.
We were going traveling to all these different meetings and kind of, but we kind of started setting up a little bit more of parameters, mm-hmm. like even being invited to sales meetings. Like, okay, what's their budget?
Right.
What, you know, what are they looking for? And if that those questions aren't answered, then we're kind of like, well, do both of us need to be in that meeting? Do we, right. You know, do we need to get the whole team on that meeting, or can it just be one person?
Yeah, yeah. If it's a low budget, we say, okay, I think you can handle that.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And just, yeah, and setting up those parameters so that we don't neglect our customers or existing clients for 3 hours.
Right.
But if we feel like it's going to be a good fit, it's going to, you know, they have the budget, they have... Then yeah, absolutely. We'll meet with them. Looks like it's a good prospect, but just kind of think. I think setting up those parameters and those kind of boundaries to meet with us,
right?
Even internally,
yeah.
Like to meet with you, like I scheduled this 2 weeks ago. This podcast, right? I got it to the calendar. I'm like, yes, he accepted. And then you invited me to talk about the topics.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Prior to having this,
yeah.
So yeah, even internally, scheduling. You know, scheduling time. So it's not like, hey, Dominic, you got a minute? You're like, no, I don't, you know?
Yeah.
And it didn't hurt my feelings.
Right.
You know, I know right. you're doing something.
Right, right. So. Yeah, man, I remember going to a sales meeting with I think it was a realtor, and it was like 3 hours long.
Oh, wow.
And the guy said, you know, definitely he's going to come with us. I had never talked to that guy again.
Right.
I've never seen him again.
Yeah.
I always think about that meeting because it was so long.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like the longest meeting I ever sat through.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is during a 3-hour meeting, you probably came back to the office to 15 to 20 emails.
Yeah.
And 2 hours, you know, worth of work that you didn't, you know, you think it'd be an hour. And so you were behind 2 hours on work.
Right. Yeah, the phone was buzzing the whole time during
right.
the meeting.
Right.
Trying to explain to this guy AdWords.
Yeah. And I think we've kind of tightened up on our potential new client meetings. Like, mm-hmm.
You started putting on the proposals how much time they get.
Right. With the development team.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
It's like... Brad does, you know, you have your initial call, and then he puts dash 30 minutes.
Right. Yeah.
That's awesome.
I mean, we don't track it that hard, but it's usually 15 to 30 minutes. And I think the clients that are going to steal 3 hours of our time aren't our clients.
Right.
Because they don't value our time.
Exactly.
And so, you know, them thinking, hey, let's just have a 3-hour potential sales meeting is like, you know what, we walk away from that going, we don't want that client because their, you know, marketing brief call may be 3 hours.
Right.
And we don't have 3 hours, or we charge them for it, you know?
Exactly. Now, if they came in and they had a $500,000 budget,
right.
3 hours is okay.
Yeah, exactly. 3 hours.
We'll spend 3 hours.
Right. But, no, I think just, so externally, customers value our time, and then also internally, employees value, you know,
right.
and our teammates valuing our time, and I think we've started to tighten up that process.
Yeah.
And
it brings about a certain amount of respect for everyone here too.
Right.
I feel like, you know, even if say we brought in a, you know, a 17-year-old intern,
mm-hmm.
and we said, hey man, do you have time at 2 p.m. today?
Mm-hmm.
That shows a little bit of respect, I feel like.
Right.
Instead of saying, hey, come here, I want to show you this.
Yes. You know? Exactly. Yeah. And then that just kind of filters throughout the company too, you know, just like everyone's checking each other's calendars and kind of valuing each other's time for the most part. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't mean to say we don't like on occasionally have a 5-minute just chat meeting.
Hey, yeah, we have hallway meetings.
Right. Yeah. The water cooler meetings.
Yeah. Whatnot. After we have a call with a client, you hear 4 doors open.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And there's either a high five or there's like, okay, we've got to do the fix. We need to have a meeting after this, you know. You know, most of the part it's high fives. It's, you know, it's good. Clients are happy. So, well, let's talk kind of about the future, where we're going, 2017.
Man, yeah, I'm super excited about this year. I feel like things have hit we've hit a good stride.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we've all got our heads wrapped around what we do and what we do best. And we have a good vision as far, I feel like we've been able to look, you know, forward instead of paying attention to what's right in front of us.
Yeah.
Which is huge because now we're looking at, okay, well, what if in 3 or 4 years the industry changes?
Yeah.
Where will we be? How do we start proactively pivoting so that we're still relevant in that?
Either learning new services or selling new products or,
right,
you know.
Right. You're very, very proactive with just team building and leadership and shaping, you know, the company vision, which is awesome because companies change all the time, and I'm not a fan of companies who don't change.
Yeah.
No, yeah. I'm not a fan of companies who, you know, I once worked for a company who only did digital, but claimed to not be an online company, claimed to not be a digital company.
Right.
You know, wouldn't compare themselves to Apple, more so wanted to compare themselves to, like, Sears. Mm-hmm. And it was ridiculous.
Right.
It didn't make sense. So
right.
we're being really proactive with just that, just looking towards the future and looking at taking care of our core team.
Mm-hmm.
Our core team is so valuable to me and Brad, I know.
Yeah.
And just making sure they feel loved, they feel appreciated, you know, making sure that they don't feel like they're working all day, if that makes sense.
Right.
That they have a life.
Right.
I'm excited.
We do the weekly vision meetings. We do the monthly luncheons that we'll bring in lunch and kind of cast vision and have a good time.
Don't you mention pool.
Yeah. Don't mention pool. Then we do quarterly outings. I was going to mention quarterly outings that are optional. Like, we make it optional, and everyone shows up.
All the time.
You know?
Every time.
We do something fun. We, you know, go bowl, or we'll go play pool.
Don't you mention pool.
Dominic's a little sore about our last time we played pool.
Brad beat me.
In the finals. Yeah, the bracket. But, yeah, just having a good time as a company, bringing everyone together and enjoying what we do.
Yeah.
I think
everyone enjoys each other.
Yeah.
It's awesome. And it's family friendly. People bring their kids.
Right.
You know, I've had my 7-month-old in my office one time, you know, for like 2 hours while my wife met with Brad about something.
Yeah. And then he came in one other time and you were needing to meet. And so, and Liz was meeting with someone. So I took him and I was just carrying Elijah right around the office, you know, knowing that, okay, Dominic's got to do something for me that I can't do. And, you know, Liz had an interview, I think, or something like that. And
yeah.
So we were just like, yeah, we came together.
But that stuff's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't happen in traditional company. I remember being in at a company, and I was showing them a video of a company in Los Angeles, a digital company. And in the video, they had, you know, some offices have office pets. You know, you have your dog or your cat or whatever. And I remember at this company I was at, which is why I'm no longer there, he was like, I would never let an animal into the workplace.
Wow.
I was like, oh, man, like, that's so
right.
Not fun.
Exactly.
But we make a big effort. And I feel like this year on, we're making even more strides to protecting what matters to us as people and as, you know, leaders in business.
Yeah. And just changing and innovating to make sure that our company withstands, you know, in 5 years and 10 years. Because we're both pretty young guys, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, we still have quite a bit of life ahead of us. And we've both got kids, too, that we want to make sure that our kids don't grow up hating, you know, our jobs,
right,
you know, or our careers or our business.
Right. Or so, we don't want them growing up thinking that in order to run a company, you have to work 80 hours a week.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
There are more efficient ways to do it.
Right.
And so, I think that's what we're working towards.
Absolutely.
Absolute efficiency.
Yep. And I think one thing that's been good, too, is just, you know, the vision. So when we look on at taking a new client that's outside of our core existing clients, which are mainly attorneys and lawyers, you know, and it's a new project and somebody comes with a new idea and there could be profit in it, we kind of put it back to the vision. Hey, does this fit a vision of where we're going? Can we provide, you know, effective marketing services, efficient solutions, you know, excellent customer care?
We had to turn down a big deal, guys.
Yep.
Like a big deal.
Yes.
And I remember sitting in your office, Brad, mm-hmm. and you looked at me and you were like, should we turn it down? And I said, I don't know. Don't know, because you know, you have a big money, you know, price point looking at you.
Right.
And Brad made the call and said, you know what, this doesn't fit what we do.
Yeah.
And wrote the email and said, I'm sorry, we it wouldn't be responsible for us to take this deal.
Yeah, exactly.
And I can refer you to other people if you like. And they came back and said, well, we'd much rather work through you.
Yeah.
Refer us to someone, right. You know. And right. That was kind of cool, because then we got to start looking at a, you know, referral kickback or something like that. But smartest thing ever, because had we gotten into that deal, had we been reactive like we were all of last year,
mm-hmm.
We would have taken that deal.
Yep.
We would have been like, man, this is a lot of money.
Right.
We'll figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
But to be in a point where we can say that's, we know, we can look at that and see that's going to take way more time than we have available. And even though that's a big price point, it's not worth that much to us.
And we even questioned it for weeks after. We were like, man, we should have taken that. We even had a tough month that month, too.
Yeah.
You know, we even questioned it. But last year, we had a few tough months, and that's when we just lowered our price and like cut deals and discounts and everything, and just went through, you know, the process of people not valuing our services.
One thing, and this might be wrong, and if it is, we can X this out of the podcast, but what we found is that, you know, in business, the more you give someone for free, or the more you do something out of good faith, or good, you know, they've been a good client, I'll do this. The more you do that for a client, the more it seems like they ask more of that from you.
Yep.
And what we found, I think what Brad was getting at, is that you have to value your work so much that even if they say, hey, I want this font a little bigger, you say, this is going to take an hour or so.
Mm-hmm.
I'll invoice you. Right. Or maybe the first time you don't. One thing that Stacy does is, if we do something, she'll send like a dead invoice where it shows what it would have cost.
Right.
Had we been the company to charge them.
Yeah.
And I would encourage everyone, if you're listening to this and you're running an agency or you're solo or an entrepreneur, if you do something for somebody, let them know how much you usually charge for it.
Yeah.
So that they know it's not just a quick favor. It's actually, you're using part of their business time.
Yeah.
you're using part of your time where you could be working on other clients and getting paid.
Yeah. That's a lot of what we learned last year, was just valuing our time. And then you'll have a lot of clients that'll come in and just say, hey, I've got this bigger, better deal. And so if you do this for me, then I'll open you up to this bigger, better deal.
Man.
Or these other companies that, you know, and or so price low. And
I have a lot of companies who I can refer you to.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
I would say steer clear of those people. Or charge them more, because, you know, I think we've all had those type of people where they're like, yeah, I'll refer all my friends to you.
Yep.
And then so we kind of get blinded thinking, man, they've got a wide network, you know, they could refer us to all these other people.
Mm-hmm.
And it never happens.
And then they keep it quiet because they don't want the other people knowing who worked on their stuff. Yeah.
I'm excited about 2017. 2016 was a year of growth, a year of just internal growth, external growth. I mean, it's been exciting, Dominic. I'm looking for years to come with you.
Absolutely. This was fun. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Create the Movement podcast. Visit us at createthemovement.com to discover how we can help you create a movement.